ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಭದ್ರಂ ಕರ್ಣೇಭಿಃ ಶೃಣುಯಾಮ ದೇವಾಃ, ಭದ್ರಂ ಪಶ್ಯೇಮಾಕ್ಷಭಿರ್ಯಜತ್ರಾಃ, ಸ್ಥಿರೈರಂಗೈಃ ಸುಷ್ಟು ವಾಗುಂಸಸ್ತನೂಭಿಃ ವ್ಯಶೇಮ ದೇವಹಿತಂ ಯದಾಯುಃ. ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನ ಇಂದ್ರೋ ವೃದ್ಧಶ್ರವಾಃ, ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನ ಪೂಷಾ ವಿಶ್ವವೇದಾಃ, ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನಸ್ತಾರ್ಕ್ಷ್ಯೋ ಅರಿಷ್ಟನೇಮಿಃ, ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನೋ ಬೃಹಸ್ಪತಿರ್ದಧಾತು. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟೆಡ್ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಮಾಂಡುಕ್ಯ ಕಾರಿಕಾ ಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ ಆಗಮ ಪ್ರಕರಣ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ದಿ ಮಾಂಡುಕ್ಯ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ವೆಬಿನಾರ್. ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಸಿ ಗೌಡಪಾದಾಚಾರ್ಯಸ್ ಅನಾಲಿಸಿಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಮಾಂಡುಕ್ಯ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಹಿಸ್ ಕಾರಿಕಾಸ್. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಗೌಡಪಾದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಹಿ ರೋಟ್ ಜನರಲ್ ನೋಟ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ದಿ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ಇನ್ 29 ಕಾರಿಕಾಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾಲೋಯಿಂಗ್ 3 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಹಿ ಫೋಕಸಸ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ಲಿ ಆನ್ ದಿ 7th ಮಂತ್ರ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಮೇನ್ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಉಪನಿಷತ್. ಇಫ್ ಯು ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ದಿ 7th ಮಂತ್ರ ವಾಸ್ ಐ ಟ್ರೈ ಟು ರೀಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಂತ್ರ ಆಸ್ ಆಫನ್ ಆಸ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್. ನಾಂತ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಂ ನ ಬಹಿಷ್ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಂ ನೋ ಭಗತ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಂ ನ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾನಘನಂ ನ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಂ ನ ಅಪ್ರಜ್ಞಂ ಅದೃಷ್ಟಂ ಅವ್ಯವಹಾರ್ಯಂ ಅಗ್ರಾಹ್ಯಂ ಅಲಕ್ಷಣಂ ಅಚಿಂತ್ಯಂ ಅವ್ಯಪದೇಶ್ಯಂ ಏಕಾತ್ಮ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಯಸಾರಂ ಪ್ರಪಂಚೋಪಶಮಂ ಶಾಂತಂ ಶಿವಂ ಅದ್ವೈತಂ ಚತುರ್ಥಂ ಮನ್ಯಂತೆ ಸ ಆತ್ಮ ಸ ವಿಜ್ಞೇಯಃ. ಸೊ ದಿ 7th ಮಂತ್ರ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ವಾಸ್ ರಿವೀಲ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ ದಿ ತುರೀಯ ಆತ್ಮ. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಂತ್ರ ಎವ್ರಿ ವರ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಆಸ್ ಐ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ಡ್ ಮೆನಿ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಬಟ್ ಟೂ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ವೆರಿ ಪ್ರೊಫೌಂಡ್. ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರಪಂಚೋಪಶಮಂ ಫ್ರೀ ಫ್ರಮ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ಅದ್ವೈತಂ ನಾಟ್ ಡ್ಯುವಲ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಗೌಡಪಾದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಹಿ ಏಮ್ಸ್ ಟು ಬ್ರಿಂಗ್ ಔಟ್ ದ ಫುಲ್ ಸಿಗ್ನಿಫಿಕೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದೀಸ್ ಟೂ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ದಿ ಸಿಗ್ನಿಫಿಕೆನ್ಸ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಹೀ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಜಗನ್ ಮಿಥ್ಯಾ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹೌ ಡು ವಿ ಅರೈವ್ ಅಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಷನ್? ದ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಈಸ್ ಅದ್ವೈತಂ ನಾನ್ ಡ್ಯೂವಲ್ ವಿತೌಟ್ ಎ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಥಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ಇಫ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾನ್ ಡ್ಯೂವಲ್ ವಿತೌಟ್ ಅ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಥಿಂಗ್, ಹೌ ಡಸ್ ಒನ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್? ದಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ದ ಕ್ವಶನ್. ಒನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನಾಟ್ ಸೇ ದಟ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾನ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ಡ್. ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಐ ಸೇ ದಟ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ದೆನ್? ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಐ ಕ್ಯಾನಾಟ್ ಸೇ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಫ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಅದ್ವೈತಂ. ಅದರ್ವೈಸ್ ದಲ್ ಬಿ ಟೂ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್, ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆರ್ ಆತ್ಮ ದಿ ಅಬ್ಸರ್ವರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ದಿ ಅಬ್ಸರ್ವ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಸೇ ದಟ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಆರ್ ಬೋತ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಲೀಡ್ ಟು ದ್ವೈತಂ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಸೇ ದಟ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾನ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ದೆನ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಕ್ಯಾನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ಡ್. ದೆನ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಸೇ ದಟ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡರ್ ಎ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಕ್ಯಾಟಗರಿ, ನೈದರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ನಾರ್ ನಾನ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್, ವಿಚ್ ವಿ ಕಾಲ್ ಇಟ್ ಆಸ್ ಮಿಥ್ಯಾ. ಸೊ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೀಮಿಂಗ್ಲಿ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಬಟ್ ಆನ್ ಎನ್ಕ್ವೈರಿ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಚುವಲಿ ನಾನ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್. ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಜಗನ್ ಮಿಥ್ಯಾ ಇಸ್ ಕನ್ವೇಡ್ ಬೈ ಅದ್ವೈತಂ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪ್ರಪಂಚೋಪಶಮಂ. ಅದ್ವೈತಂ ವಾಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೇಸ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪ್ರಪಂಚೋಪಶಮಂ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಜಗತ್ ಮಿಥ್ಯಾ. ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಹೌ ದಿ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಅರೈವ್ಸ್ ಅಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಷನ್. ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ಟು ರಿವೀಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ದಿ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಗೌಡಪಾದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಹಿ ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ದ ಡ್ರೀಮ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್. ಡ್ಯೂರಿಂಗ್ ದ ಡ್ರೀಮ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ವಿ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ದ ಡ್ರೀಮ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ವೆರಿ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ಲಿ. ಫಾರ್ ಅ ಡ್ರೀಮರ್ ದ ಡ್ರೀಮ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಅ ಡ್ರೀಮ್ ಇನ್ ಡ್ರೀಮ್. ದ ಡ್ರೀಮ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಹಿಮ್. ಹಿ ವಿಲ್ ನೆವರ್ ಯೂಸ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಸೀಮಿಂಗ್ಲಿ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಟು ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ ದಿ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಡ್ರೀಮ್ ಡ್ರೀಮ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಡ್ರೀಮ್. ಅಪಾನ್ ವೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಪ್ ಹಿ ವಿಲ್ ಫೈಂಡ್ ದ ಡ್ರೀಮ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಗಾನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹಿ ವಿಲ್ ನೋ ದಟ್ ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ನೆವರ್ ಸೆಪರೇಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಎ ಥಾಟ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟರ್ಬನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಮೈಂಡ್. ದ ಡ್ರೀಮ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೀಮಿಂಗ್ಲಿ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಡ್ರೀಮ್ ಬಟ್ ಆನ್ ವೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಪ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾನ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್. Similarly, the world is seemingly existent for the waker. But upon inquiry from the standpoint of Brahman, the Atma, this world is like dream mithya. So, Jagat mithya, Brahman satyam, that is the teaching. And the second chapter establishes the mithya status of the world. The second chapter of the Karika. It establishes the mithya status of the world and it is called Vaitatya Prakarana. We had Agama Prakaranam, the first chapter of the Karika. And the second chapter is called Vaitatya Prakaranam. Vaitatyam is another word for mithya. So the third chapter is Advaita Prakaranam. That establishes Brahma Satyatvam. That Brahman I am. That Brahma Satyatvam is established in the third chapter, Advaita Prakaranam. And the fourth chapter is Aladi Shanti Prakaranam, that defends this teaching by answering all the questions and objections raised by the proponents of all other systems. So we say that the world is seemingly existent and factually non-existent. Both statements are essentially conveying the same thing. Seemingly existent, that is called in Vedanta Avivartavada, and factually non-existent is called Ajativada. Just for the sake of giving you the names, we don't have to go into details of that. So these are the two different ways of looking at the mithyatvam of the world, the mithya nature of the world. So when we repeatedly study this, we may develop a misconception. The chapters 2, 3, and 4 of the Karika are so profound that they may develop certain misconception in our minds. We should be very aware of this because these chapters continuously talk about the world as only seemingly existing and not factually existing, much like a dream only. This may give rise to a misconception that Vedanta does not give importance or value for the world and the worldly life. It may look like Vedanta is discrediting the world and the worldly life. Vedanta never discredits the world and the worldly life at all. Vedanta first reveals our higher nature, which is Turiyam Brahman. That is Vedanta's first aim. Then it reveals the status of the world from the standpoint of our higher nature. From that standpoint, world is mithya and it can never disturb my higher nature at all. As the non-doer, non-enjoyer, Turiyam Atma, I cannot enter into any transaction. But with Ahankara disguise as Vishwa, I enter into worldly transaction in the Jagrat Avastha and as Taijasa in the Dream Avastha and again as Prajna in the Sushupti. So Vedanta teaches from standpoint of Ahankara disguise world is real. From the standpoint of Turiyam Atma, the world is mithya. Therefore, during transaction, the world importance should be recognized during transaction. Once I know the importance of world from Vishwa standpoint, Dharma Shastra becomes relevant. Let us not miss world, dismiss the world at all and its relevance in the name of Vedanta. We should be very clear. We may be studying Vedanta, we could be Vedantins, but we can never dismiss world from the standpoint of Dharma Shastra, because that becomes relevant in the waking state. Once transaction is entered into as Vishwa, by now you know Vishwa, Taijasa and Prajna, all those states, so I'm just using those words. So once transaction is entered into as Vishwa, the four pillars of Dharma Shastra, which are family, society, duties, values, they all become important. All the four should be respected. Vedanta repeatedly warns that the Vedantic student should follow Dharma as part of the society. So if Dharma Shastra is important, then what is the purpose of knowing that I am Satyam and Jagat is Mithya? Because that question, because family, society, duties, values, they are all important. So if that is important, what is the purpose of my knowing that I am Satyam and this Jagat, this world is Mithya? So purpose of Vedantic teaching must be very clear. When we are living our regular life, especially when problems come repeatedly, spiritual questions will arise. Anyone will have spiritual questions now and then. What is the purpose of life? What is the meaning of life? Why I am born? Why did Bhagavan create this world? If Bhagavan is omniscient, all-powerful and compassionate, why should there be suffering in the world? Some people are so busy that they never get these questions at all. But some people, they do. For some people, these questions will come, they stay briefly and then go away. But for some spiritually sensitive people, these questions come, they stay and get deeper in them. These questions will disturb them actually so much that normal life becomes very difficult for them. Normal life almost becomes impossible. Swami Vivekananda, Buddha, they are all examples. When this intense spiritual urge comes, Gaudapada's answer alone will quieten the mind. Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya. That alone will satisfy the thinking intellect. Vedanta talks about the mithyatvam of the world, but it does not say that the world and family are unimportant. All these are important at the transaction level. Family, society, duties and values, they are all important. Following them, one can gain this knowledge. And then these spiritual questions will not disturb me anymore. This Vedantic teaching should be seen in the right perspective. So with this background, now let us enter into the second chapter. So whatever I said so far is just like a preamble when we enter into the second chapter. First shloka. Vaitathyam sarvabhavanam swapna ahur manishinaha antasthanattu bhavanam samrutatvena hetuna. Manishinaha ahuhu. The wise people, Manishinaha, here the wise people, they declare Ahuhu. What do they declare? Vaitathyam sarvabhavanam. Vaitathyam, the unreality, the mithyatvam, sarvabhavanam, all the objects. When? Swapne, in dream. Antasthanat, because of the object's location is within the body. And because of the limitation of space, there is space limitation inside the body in the dream. You cannot physically keep an elephant even if you see a dream in the dream. Gaudapada shows that the world obtaining in the waking state is mithya. It appears real only in the waking state. Its relevance and validity are only in the waking state. Its reality is only conditional reality. What is the condition for the waking world to be real? One must be in waking state. One should be in the Jagrat Avastha. As an example for this is what? Gaudapada Acharya, he refers to the dream. Dream is also real under one condition. And that condition is what? That I must be in dream. So the Acharya shows that dream is conditionally real, mithya. Then he shows that the waking state also has all the features of the dream world. For that, he logically establishes that dream is mithya or unreal, even though we generally know that dream is unreal. The Acharya logically establishes that. For any object to exist, what it requires? It requires sufficient space. For example, no one will accept the existence of an elephant in a handbag. The required space for the existence of an object is condition number one. For an event to take place, the next one, sufficient time is needed. Suppose someone says that he went to India last night and came back to New Jersey this morning. That's not possible. The usual reaction to this will be what? Should you be dreaming? For things and events to be real, sufficient space and time are required. All the dream events, they all happen in my head and not outside my head. How can a world consisting of mountains, rivers, all can be contained in my head? But still I experience such a world in my dream. In dream, the experience is real. Events, objects, they are all experienced in dream. There is not sufficient time and space at all for dream events and objects, and so the dream is unreal, but they appear real. So the objects and events in dream are only projections and not reality. That is the substance of the first verse. Second, adhirgatvachya kalasya gatva deshanna pasyati pratibuddhascha vai sarvaha tasmin deshena vidyate. Also, kalasya adhirgatvat na pasyati. Because of the shortness of time, adhirgatvat, one does not see, na pasyati, what? Gatva deshan, places, people go to places and all, they don't see. Pratibuddhascha vai, again, after waking up, tasmin deshe na vidyate. No one indeed continues to be in that place from the dream. Not only the objects in dream are unreal, but the events are also unreal. The time is in dream is very limited. For example, it lasts only 1.5-2 minutes based on sleep studies. So within these 1.5-2 minutes, events lasting for much longer times, they happen in dream. After establishing the mithyatmam of dream, then the acharya gives direct experience for support. Suppose I have a doubt whether during dream I really travel or not. Let us imagine that someone in dream went to Kashi and he also had darshanam of Lord Vishwanatha. So while he was coming out of the temple in the dream, all these things are happening. Now he is coming out of the temple, suddenly he wakes up. Where will he wake up? He wakes up only in his bed and not in Kashi. So the travel in dream is mithya only. So direct experience and inference, they reveal that dream is mithya. In the third sloka, which we are going to read now, next, Gaudapada Acharya says that even scriptures say that dream is mithya. Even though they don't have to teach about dream, they confirm what we know. That's what they do. So in the next sloka, sloka number 3, we'll read. Abhavascharathadhinam shruyate nyaya purvakam vaitavtyam tena vai praptam swapna ahu prakashitam. Besides, rathadhinam abhavascha. Because of the absence of all these ratham, chariots and all that, shruyate nyaya purvakam. It's all heard in the Upanishads. Based on logic, actually in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, all this is being taught. Ahuhu, they say, vaitatyam tena vai praptam, the fallacy, the vaitatyam, that arrived because of this. Prakashitam, the Upanishad, it reiterates this also. So the Veda also confirms the mithyatvam of dream in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and other places. A person dreams various chariots, horses, roads, charioteer, traveling, all that. But upon, this is all the Upanishad. But upon waking up, he finds that they were all his mental projections only. None of these things were really there in dream. It cannot be said that chariot, etc. actually existed because on waking, they are found to be absent. It cannot be said that chariot were non-existent because non-existent objects cannot be experienced. The dreamer clearly experienced all the objects and also traveled also in dream. Because of that experience, those objects cannot be called non-existent. So, the dream objects and events are neither non-existent nor existent. They come under the category of seemingly existent, that is called mithya. So, even though it is mithya, dream can disturb a dreamer during dream and even later. Vedanta says that this world is also seemingly existent and it is capable of giving lot of problems. But when I wake up to my true nature, my higher nature, the Turiya Atma state, from that standpoint, I can say that no world exists independent of me. Shloka 4. Antasthanattu bhedanam tasma jagarite smritam yatha tatra tatha swapne samritatvena vidyate. Yatha tatra swapne, as it is in the case of the dream, so in the case of the other, tasmat jagarite smritam. So, the unreality of objects in waking state, that is accepted. However, antasthanatu bedana, the dream differs because of its location within the body, and samrutatvena, because of the limitation of space also. From this, the 18th verse up to the 18th verse, the Acharya, he establishes that the waking world is also like the dream. So this is a very important section. For that, he gives the introduction in this shloka. Just as we experience things in the dream world, the same mithyatvam should be extended to the waking world also. That is where we all will have problem. How we prove it to be mithya in the waking world? Because that's a definite full discussion that is going to come later. After now, he is only proposing. After proposing that the waking world is also mithya, Gaudapada Acharya says that even though both of them are mithya, the dream world and waking world, there is a difference within their mithyatvam. There's a difference in their mithyatvam. The dream world is experienced within our physical body, whereas the waking world is experienced outside of our physical body. In spite of this difference, both the worlds are mithya. This is how we should try to understand this. Shloka 5. Swapna jagarita sthane hekamahur manishinaha bhedanam hi samatvena prasiddhenaiva hetuna. So swapna jagaristane hi ekam ahuhu manishinaha. Wise people, they say, the dream state and waking state are indeed vedanam hi samvatatvena. So in as much there is similarity of diverse things, prasiddhe naiva eva hetuna, due to the well-known reason, prasiddham, of similarity of objects. Therefore, the Acharya explains his proposition more clearly here. Dream world and waking world are same from the standpoint of their reality. Both are conditionally real. Both have, you know, Swamiji calls this ETU factor. ETU means both are experienced and both are available for transaction, ET, and both have utility, U, in their respective conditions. So the wise people, they declare that both the worlds are usually equally unreal. Normally, people ascribe gradations in the reality of the dream and the waking states, saying that the dream is less real than waking. The objects of experience in both the states are very similar. Gaudapada Acharya has not yet given the logic or reasoning for the mithyatvam of the waking world. He has not given it yet. What is the logic? The logic given in the case of the dream world, which is constrained by space and time, cannot be given for the waking world. Gaudapada Acharya says that the waking world also is mithya for a well-known reason. Shankaracharya says that the well-known reason is what we saw in the introduction of the Upanishads, which is the foundation of the Mandukya Karika. The reason is what? Whatever is an object of experience has to be mithya because it cannot exist independent of the observer. Any object can prove its existence only when it is observed. Otherwise, it cannot. Suppose there is an object that can never be experienced by anyone at any time. That object's existence can never be accepted. Imagining it to exist will lead to arbitrary imagination of any object, which is also absurd. So, existence of an object requires it being experienced by someone at some time. So, an experiencer is required to prove the existence of an experienced object because the object borrows existence from the subject. That subject is what? Is Atma. It is not the mind or sense organs because they are also objects. Behind mind, the sense organs, consciousness is required, chaitanyam is required to prove the existence of anything. There is only one universal consciousness, without which the existence of anything cannot be proven. the waking world is observed, and so is Mithya, just as the dream world is. So the Acharya now gives his own reason in the next verse. Sloka number 6. Adhavante chayan nasti vartamane pitathata vitatai sadrusha santaha avitata iva lakshitaha. Yatu nasti, yatu na asti adav antecha. A thing which does not exist, adav in the beginning and the end, antecha. Vartamane api tatha, in the middle also, it won't be. Even though vitataihi sadrishasantaha, they are identical with unreal objects, avitatha iva lakshitaha, they are regarded as though real. This is a very important sloka. First, the explanation of the sloka, let us see. So, that which does not exist in beginning and end, or that which did not exist earlier and will not exist later, but has only a temporary existence in an intermediary stage, that is mithya. That is the definition of mithya. So, if it is only temporarily existent, its existence must be borrowed from somewhere. If it has its own original existence, it will be permanently existent. Water is hot temporarily because it does not have natural heat. Fire is always hot. Even when anything temporarily exists, it has borrowed existence only. When a temporarily existent thing appears existent temporarily, really speaking, it is non-existent. It does not have its own existence. It has borrowed existence. That is mithya. These are all fundamental definitions. We are only reiterating all of them. So the Acharya says that a thing that was not existent in the past and will not exist in future has only a seeming existence in the present, if it exists in the present. This should be extended to the dream and the waking worlds. Up to this is clear, but to extend it to the waking world and dream world, that's what we should do now. So the dream world is experienced temporarily in the dream state. The waking world is experienced temporarily in the waking state. In the middle of the, for example, now the webinar is going on. In the middle of the webinar, someone goes out of the waking state. That means they sleep off. The class is gone for them. So, the dream world exists temporarily in the dream state. The waking world exists temporarily in the waking state. Both of them are temporary only. Therefore, both of them are equally mithya. So, one more point that needs to be made also is, even though the waking world is said to be mithya because it is temporary, for the experiencer, it is very real. It is satyam. For the dreamer, dream is satyam. The dream world also appears very real in dream. In dream, objects and events are real. For example, somebody is running a marathon in dream. The dream running is done to save my dream body from a chasing dream dog, perhaps. You are running in the street and suddenly a dog chases. In the dream, a person is running. So a person is running in the dream to save a dream body from a chasing dream dog. In the respective fields, waking and dream, the things, they are all satyam. They appear to be real. That is mithya. Even though the waking world is mithya like the dream world. So, in the moment I go to dream, waking disappears. The moment I come to waking, dream disappears. Each one is conditionally real and not absolutely real. That is mithya. Even though, because to understand mithya is very complex. So that is why we are giving so many times back and forth to try to see how do we understand mithyatvam. Even though the waking world is mithya like the dream world, it will appear real in the waking state. That does not mean we should conclude it is real. Sloka 7. Saprayojanata tesham swapne vipratipadhyate tasmada adhyanta vantvatvena mithyaiva kalu te smritaha. Saprayojanatha, the utility, tesham, that utility is swapne vipratipadyate, contradicted in dream. therefore tasmat mitya mityeva khalu te smritaha, they are indeed considered to be unreal only. Why? Adyanta adyantavatvena, since they have a beginning and an end. So hereafter the acharya, he answers some of the objections raised for our understanding. These objectors, whomsoever they object, they point out that Gaudapada's conclusion that the waking world is mithya is based on his own definition of satyam and mithya. So it is Gaudapada's definition. His definition is that whatever is objectified is mithya and the subject atma is satyam. So the objection is what? Why should anyone accept his definition? There's no need, I should accept this, his definition. So the objectors then give their own definition. The definition is a clever one actually, in that it makes dream mithya but waking satyam. So four or five definitions are given which need to be examined. So the waking world must be accepted as real because all objects in the waking world are useful for life. Now they have brought utility here. They are all useful. So utility proves reality is the first factor. But in dream, for example, one can earn a lot of money, but upon waking up, that money cannot be used at all. So the dream objects have no utility. So dream is mithya. Now Gaudapada Acharya, he refutes this by saying that this definition does not work. Waking objects are useful in the waking state only. Dream objects are useless in the waking state, but they are useful in the dream state. In fact, dream objects alone are useful in the dream state. Each object is useful in its state and useless in the other state. Utility in the respective state is common to both waking and dream states, and uselessness is in the other state is also common to both of them. Therefore, both states should be given the same status of reality. The utility of the waker's objects is falsified in dream. So the utility is not a criterion of reality. That which is beginningless and eternal, that alone should be real. Eternity is the criterion of reality, so the waking world is mithya. Tata swarganivasinam. Like that, for example, the swarganivasis, people who are the swargas, swargalokavasis. Tan ayam gatva, having gone there, prekshate yata iha susikshitaha. A well-informed person, susikshitaha, well-informed person, he experiences them in this world, like a swargavasi. So the second objection now, that is peculiar objection. What does it say? It states that dream must also be taken as satyam because dream is not a mental projection. Dream is not a mental projection based on the waking state. Normally, dream is defined as vasana projection from the mind. That's how we normally understand. It is said to be mithya because it is a projection. The objector says that dream cannot be based on vasanas of the waking state. In dream, this is another objection. In dream, we do see unique things that we had not experienced in waking state at all. Dream must be another unique, different world of experience. And so, that must be satyam also. So, this is another objection. Since the waking state is similar to dream, it must also be satyam. So some darshanas, for example, Visishtadvaita and some darshanas, they hold that dream is not our mental projection, but created by God for a particular jiva. So uniqueness is the criterion for reality. Waking and dream are both unique in their own way, and so both must be taken as satyam. So earlier utility, now uniqueness. So Gaudapada's answer is what? Uniqueness cannot be taken as a criterion for reality. These are all extremely nice arguments. Of course, the Vedantis and the Tarkikas, they talk about it for days. We do have several mental projections unique to us. Each one has a mental projection unique to each one. If uniqueness is criterion for reality, whatever we uniquely project can be considered to be real. That is not so. And the argument that uniqueness is the criterion of reality is simplistic also. No one accepts dream as real. Whether dream is unique or not, dream depends upon the observer for its existence. Since the unique dream object depends on the dream observer, it does not have independent existence of its own. And therefore, it must be understood as mithya. There is no objective world existing. But the type of world we are experiencing will depend upon the type of instruments that we use. You can never prove an objective world as it is. Suppose we are using our eyes, the world will be understood as the world of forms. The moment you remove the eyes and use your ears, then the world will be the world of sounds. Depending upon the instrument, world will be experienced differently. If instead of a human body, we have an animal body, let us say, this world experience will be unique to the animal body. Many animals cannot see colors. For them, the entire world will be black and white only. Vedanta says that we do not experience the world objectively, but our experience depends on the instrument that we use, eyes, ears, and any of those. The moment a human being gets a celestial body, for example, a divine celestial body I get, then he will experience a celestial world here and now. For a celestial, this world will be non-existent. He will experience a celestial world here and now. So Gaudapada Acharya says that the existence of the world depends on the observer and the nature of the world depends upon the medium of observation. So to experience a 3D movie, we need a special 3D glass. Different animals have different sensory faculties and their experience will be unique to their faculties. So uniqueness of experience is not a criterion of reality. So utility is not, uniqueness is not. So in different births, the Jivatma experiences different fields of experience, lokas. You go to so many lokas, depending upon the upadhi, the instrument of experience. But all these different lokas, they are dependent upon the observer for their existence and on the instrument of experience for their nature. Gaudapada Acharya gives the example of experiencing different things in different places, but the observer is same. Just as a well-educated person, for example, travels from place to place, experiencing different things in this earth itself. Similarly, the Jivatma travels from one loka to the other loka, experiencing different things in different births. All these experiences are dependent upon the observer for their existence and dependent upon the instruments of experience for their nature. Uniqueness cannot be the criterion of reality. Second objection is also true. Shloka 9. Swapna vrittava pitvantaha chetasa kalpitam tvasatem bahischeto grihitam satem drittam vaitatya metayoho swapna vrittav api. In the dream state itself, antaschetasa, by the internal consciousness, antaschetasa, chetas is consciousness, anything projected within the mind, it is indeed asat, is unreal. Bahischetasa grihitam, anything experienced outside by the mind is sat, is real. So vaitatyam etayoho drishtam, unreality of both is experienced when? Upon waking. So this is for a dreamer. So, the objector, he comes up with a new definition now of satyam and mithya. It is defined here in such a way that dream is mithya and waking is satyam. It is difficult to accept the Vedantic teaching that this world is mithya. And so, the objector tries to prove otherwise. Because it is very difficult to accept dream as mithya is not difficult. To accept the world is mithya is very difficult. We experience the dream only within our body. Since we have closed our sense organs, because during dream, you know, all these things, they are all withdrawn. The dream world is experienced inside us. Therefore, we know that the dream world is a mental projection and so it is mithya. Whereas this world is not within my body, but it is experienced outside my body. And I am experiencing this world through my sense organs. And that is external. All these experiences, they are external, the world. So the dream world is internal and the waking world is external to the body. So whatever is external is real. And whatever is internal is mithya in the experience. So externality is the criterion for reality, and internality is the criterion for unreality. So if it's external, that's the criterion for reality. So Gaudiya Bhattacharya says that superficially seeing, this may seem to be correct. We say that this world is outside in the waking state. And we say that the dream world is inside only in the waking state. So we are studying the dream world in the waking state, but to be objective study, the waking world in the waking state and dream world in the dream state, that only will be the objective study. When we are in dream, is the dream world experienced internally or externally? Mentally, let us imagine we are in dream. We realize we have a dream, we have a dream physical body, dream sense organs, and the experiences are also external to us during dream. A dreamer never says that he is experiencing dream in himself. All experiences in dream are very similar to waking and external to the dream body. The dream is exactly like the waking state when we are in dream. This is the single important lesson of this second chapter. The dreamer can also commit mistakes in dream and can also dream in dream. He can have another dream. Inner and outer are relative expressions and so should not be used to define reality. From the waking standpoint, the dream world is inside. But from the dreamer's standpoint, the dream world is outside. And even though it is outside, on waking, we find that even the so-called outside world also is mithya. Now, if you look at the sloka, in the dream state also, what the dreamer projects within his mind, he sees as mithya. What the dreamer projects within his mind, he sees mithya. And what the dreamer experiences outside of the dream body, he takes it as real. On waking up, both the inside and outside of the dream become unreal. Mithya. Vedanta says that when he projects inside the dream, he is dreaming of another dream inside the dream. So that's a dream projection. On waking up, both the inside and the outside of the dream become unreal. Mithya. So Vedanta says that from the waking body standpoint, this world is real only. We never say that the world is mithya when we study the world from the standpoint of the body. The world must be defined as satyam only. When I wake up and look at the world from the standpoint of my higher nature, namely Atma, Turiya Atma, both the body and the world are nothing but thoughts in Maya. As the dream is nothing but thoughts in our mind, this world is nothing but some disturbance in the cosmic mind called Maya Tattvam. For this, we have to shift our attention from the body to Atma. That is the most important shift. Shloka 10. Jagrat vrittava pitvantaha chetasa kalpitam tvasate bahis cheto grihitam sate yuktam vaitatyametayoho. So in the waking state also, anything projected within my mind is indeed unreal. Anything experienced outside the mind is real. Outside by the mind is real. So, the unreality of both is reasonable. And for example, an ordinary person who is not taught all the shastras and all that, he will conclude in the waking state that whatever imaginary world that he imagines within his mind to be unreal. But he will say that the external world, that what he experiences through his mind and sense organs, which is not his imagination, that is real. The above will be the normal conclusion of the waker. After the spiritual waking up, after he attends all these Mandukya Upanishad classes and all, after obtaining Atmajnanam, the waker's external world will also be falsified. The unreality of the dream world and the waking world is valid from the standpoint of Atma the Turiyam, the higher reality. So the criterion of internality and externality is not valid. Two more objections come also from the objector. So this is another one. This is another objection. So two more objections, they come from the objector. They come later in the 14th and the 15th shlokas. So accordingly, our logical order should be shloka number 11, 12 and 13 next. So, but we will skip them now at this time because these two objections have to be understood. So we will go to shloka 14 and 15 now and skipping these three shlokas, which we will see later. So three criteria of the objector we'll look for so far. To complete all the objections, the shloka 14 and 15, we will take up now. Shloka 14.
Chittakalahiyentastu dvayakalascha ebahihi kalpita evahi sarve visesho nanya hetukaha.
Chittakalahiye antaha tu. Things which are experienced within, they have a subjective existence as long as the thoughts last. You know, as long as I think of something, as long as a thought is there, they exist in me. Whereas, dvayakalaha e bahihi, things which are experienced outside, in two or multiple times, let us say. Example, you know, waking, a person is, during waking he has an experience, then he dreams, and after dream he wakes up, then he experiences. So, the waking and after dream, those two kalas, they have an objective existence. Kalpita, we are going to explain all this. Kalpita evahi sarve, all of them are projected, kalpana only. Visheshaha na anya hetuna, the distinction, visheshaha, is not due to any other reason, anya hetuna. Among the five suggestions of the objector, the fourth one is the most powerful. It is not very easy actually to answer this objection. So even if Gaudapada Acharya answers this, it will take a while for us to assimilate this answer. The objector says that you should not treat the waking world and the dream world equally. This is another objection. You should admit that there is a difference between them. And this difference is very clear. It is experienced, very clearly experienced by us. And you cannot ignore that. Because what is that? He says that the waking world has continuous existence. And it has permanence also. It exists independent of my experience and perception, the waking world. The external world has continuous existence in the past and present, and so has permanence also. And further, it exists even if when I go to dream and sleep, because after waking up, the external world is still present. So the waking world has continuity, it has permanence, and has independent existence, even when I do not experience it in dream and in sleep. But the dream world is experienced only in the dream. And the moment I wake up from dream, the dream world does not continue. Next day when I go to dream, I cannot say, oh, I had a nice dream yesterday, let me continue from there today. I cannot continue from last night's dream. The dream world does not have continuity. It does not have permanence and does not exist independent of me. Therefore, the dream world must be inferior. That is the conclusion. So, the waking world is superior. Treating them equally is very unfair. Treating the dream world and waking world equally is unfair. That is an objection. So, the objector says that waking world, which is independent and permanent, is satyam. And dream world, which is temporary and dependent, that is mithya. So, the waking world is satyam, because it is continuous. Gaudapada Acharya, he uses two special expressions to describe the objector's argument. He indicates the waking world's permanence by dvayakalatvam. In this shloka, dvayakalaha. Continued existence, objective existence. And the temporary existence of dream by chittakala, subjective existence. These are the two words he is using. So the waking world continues to exist before our dream, and also after the dreamer wakes up. When he wakes up. This is called dvayakala. When you experience something for the first time, that is called pratyakshakala. That is pratyakshakala. And when you experience the same thing and recognize it as what was there before, So you know these are differences in the various tarka and all these things. These are all terms which they use very often. So pratyaksha kala is whatever you are experiencing something for the first time. And when you experience the same thing and recognize it as it was there before, that is called pratyabhijna kala. Two terms, pratyaksha kala and pratyabhijna kala. So in the past and later, the waking world continues to exist. Later means after dream. So it can be inferred that it has existed in between also, even if I was not there to validate its existence. So it was existed before that also. So this is continuity proved by pratyaksha and pratyabhijna, which is called dvaya kalatvam. So in this karika, in this verse, this dvaya kalatvam word is how this is how it is understood. Therefore, the waking world has independent existence. The dream world is called chitta kala. Only when the mind is experiencing the dream world exists. And when the mind is withdrawn from the dream world does not exist. So, experience time alone is existence time for the dream world. So, dream has what eka kalatvam and waking has dvaya kalatvam, vikalatvam. Therefore, one is superior and the other is inferior. Treating them both equally is very unfair. That is the objection. Now, Gaudapadacharya, he does not answer this, but says that this line of explanation is wrong and will not work. But he does not say why. Shankaracharya and Anandagiri, they explain the fallacy in this approach. The objector says that the waking world has continuity and so is real. But the dream world has no continuity and so is unreal. So they have different order of superiority. But what is our project now? It is the assessment of the waking world and the dream world. We wish to find out which is superior and which is inferior. We also want to know the merits of these two also. Gaudapadacharya says that whenever you want to assess two things or two people, you require what? You require a judge. So what should be the criterion for the judge? The judge must not be related to the contestants or competitors. Then alone the judge will be neutral and impartial. So when the contest is between the waking world and dream world, who can judge the contest? The waker or the dreamer? Neither of them can judge. Waker cannot be a judge since waker is related to the waking world. And dreamer cannot be a judge because he is related to the dream world. So when both of them are related likewise, their judgment will be only partial, cannot be neutral. So when the waker is assessing these two, he will say that the waking world is permanent and the dream world is impermanent. And therefore, the waking world is superior and dream world is inferior. And the dreamer's assessment will still be worse. What he will say? He will always feel and say that the dream world always has continuity. And dream world has independent existence because he is dreaming. Dreamer will say that the dream world is continuous, independent and permanent. And when you ask him about the waking world, the dreamer will say that the waking world does not even exist, it's worse. At least the waker says the dream world exists temporarily. For a dreamer, waking world does not even exist. And he will ask the question, where is this contest and competition? So waker and dreamer give two different verdicts in this contest. Who is correct? Both cannot be correct. Because they are partial judgments made by observers that are related to one or the other of the two states, waking state or dream state. That is why Vedanta says that when we can never know what the truth is, ultimate truth, what it is, Vedanta says we can never know. Whatever the world we study, we are studying as an observer that belongs to that world, and therefore conclusions will be conditioned and partial. So no one can know the reality. Both the verdicts of the waker and the dreamer should be rejected because they are not neutral. They cannot be neutral judges. Vedanta says that we have to take the scriptures teaching only, that we should judge from the standpoint of the witness consciousness, the consciousness principle, not either waker or dreamer. Never judge the waking world as Vishwa, nor the dream world as Taijasa. Never judge the causal world as Pragna. They are all not neutral judges. The neutral judge is the consciousness that witnesses the three states. From the standpoint of that consciousness, Atma, the Turiya Atma, both the waking and dreaming are equal and existing in their own states and not available in the other states. The dream world is temporary from the standpoint of the waker, and the waker world is permanent from the standpoint of the waker. From Atma's perspective, waking is as mithya as dream. The distinctions that are talked about from the standpoint of the waker cannot be the reason to show that the waking world is satyam. With this, the fourth objection has been answered. These are the important messages of Vedanta. Some of the scientists, actually, what do? They are wondering whether science can arrive at the reality, because to study the world totally, the scientist cannot be part of the world. You should have to stand outside the world to get the realistic picture objectively. For science, truth will be out of reach, that absolute truth. Remaining as part of the world, we are trying to understand the world. Using our own brain, we are trying to understand the brain. Therefore, truth will always be a mystery, is the conclusion of some of the scientists. Veda says that to live in the empirical world for transactional purposes, you can use the instruments that you have. But to know the truth of the creation and yourself, your instruments will fail. And therefore, Veda says that it has an answer to give if you are open to receive it. Veda has an extraordinary vision of the world, which is not vitiated by this particular limitation. It gives an objective presentation. And that is what we should try to understand rather than trying to study with our instruments. They can all be used to enhance our understanding, but not give the absolute understanding. Gaudapada also says that he is not giving his truth, but that Mandukya Upanishad, that has given an unique message. So let us try to understand that message. As a waker, you can never arrive at the truth also. So this is the message. So we will stop perhaps here and continue with the 15th Karika verse in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara pokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti linasya yapara samaheshwaraha Sri Krishna Arpanamastu Narayana.